We'll be turning to the book of Daniel. I guess it's been a little over a year, year and a half. That's for right before Christmas in 21. I told you all, so I had Kirma a Christmas gift, and I'm going to let you listen in. And that woman that the Lord sent here is made faithful, made an example. Today's her birthday. And so I'm going to give my wife a birthday present, and y'all can just listen in. I like what our brother read. They speak not according to this word. If it's not consistent with the scriptures, the Lord ain't with them. And that's the understanding of it. We can read things, and our nature is law. Our nature is checklists. Lord, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? Now, you tell me a number, and I can laminate it, get me a dry race card, right? We have to get an understanding. God has to teach us these things, not just read law, right? We're going to learn something about Daniel today, too. We're going to talk about three Hebrew children. We'll talk about the three of them quite a bit. But Lord told us, he said, call no man father. We know that one. Call no man father. So we don't call preachers or elders or whatever father. We don't call them that. And he said, call no man master. Call no man doctor, right? That applies about the same thing. We don't just deal with degrees only. We're reverent and respectful, but we don't call no man father. Call no man master. Call no man rabbi. Teacher. Teacher. Hello, teacher. What about reverend? What do you say in Psalms? His name is reverend. So we don't call him father. We don't call him reverend. We don't call him teacher. We don't call him doctor or master. Now what do we call him? I got my checklist. We get the gist of it. We are to count those that labor in a word of double honor. But we're just men. We ain't nothing. We count Daniel of double honor, don't we? Boy, everybody says, have the faith of Daniel. How many children? We sang about it in Bluegrass song. Three were the Hebrew children. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Where was Daniel? Sitting at the right hand of Nebuchadnezzar the whole time. Daniel had some strong faith in a season. He walked by faith when God saw fit to make him walk by faith, didn't he? And Daniel 1, it starts out, Nebuchadnezzar took over and he came into Israel and he said, you're going to give me some of your youngins. And it said in Daniel 1, 4 children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace. They're able to come in front of me, and whom might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. They're able to learn another language to work for me. And the king appointed them daily provisions of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end of thereof they might stand before the king. He said, I'm going to feed them good. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel. We know about Daniel. Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Kermit, what was the name of them Hebrew children that went in the furnace? And like that fast, I just went Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I grinned. You know why I grinned? I was 15 years old, and I committed to memory the pronunciation and the names Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Years later, at the ripe young age of 42, I was so embarrassed I couldn't see straight when I went and studied that. I had done so good. You know what these names mean? I'm going to do everything in my power to remember Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Hananiah means favored of God. You know what Shadrach means in Chaldean? Nothing. Mishael means he who knows God or who is God's possession, your God's property. Do you know what Meshach means in Chaldean? Nothing. Don't mean nothing. And Azariah. Do we know what that means? If we do, I don't need to go study all week. I hope I got something for you. It means God surrounds, God protects. You know what Abednego means in Chaldean? Nothing. It's worthless. Just don't mean nothing. Don't stand for anything. Hananiah, the favor of God. Mishael, God's possession. Azariah, God protects, God surrounds. That's names. Y'all name something. Do you know that? I'm going to preach on your name Wednesday evening. I named you on purpose. Means something. But they took these children. These kids, they took their kids. How is that set with you? Everybody misses that. Commentators didn't grab that. They came in town and said, give me your best kids. They took the children. They took their children. And they gave them new names, didn't they? Look here in verse 7. Unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name Belshazzar, and to Hananiah Shadrach, and to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. They took them and they said, we're going to feed them some stuff. And of course, there was a thing there. They said, well, we're not going to eat the king's meat. We'll just eat pulse and we'll have vegetarian diets. But that's not what they had before, was it? I want you to get the picture of this. Nebuchadnezzar came into town and he said, give me your best children. They're going to work for me. They're going to be mine. He took them from their families. He told them what they were going to eat. They're all about 15 years old. Okay? They're old enough to be smart, old enough to know science. He took them from their families. He told them what they're going to eat. He told them the language they're going to speak from now on. He told them that they're going to be working in his palace. Here's where you're going to work. Here's what you're going to do. And you're going to be wise men. My wise men. I'm going to train you up. You're mine. And he gave them heathen names. What'd they do? I'll never have some. No. That ain't what they did. All right, that's fine. We'll do that. That's fine. It don't matter. You call me nothing. You call me anything but late for dinner. I don't care. It don't matter to me. They were hardworking and they were industrious people. They weren't lazy. They gave it all they had just like the rest of God's people do. They did. Verse 18. Now at the end of the days that the king had said should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them. You know how good a job they did in 3 years? He sat down and had dinner with them. You ever ate dinner with a king on this earth? He communed with them, and among them all was found none. He had all of them. There's a bunch of them more than just these four. But out of all of them, there was none like Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding, no matter what he brought up, the king inquired of them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. They were some sharp cookies. They were wise. They were serious. They were sober. And they just, like, you speak as somebody that has authority. Where'd you come from? Where do you reckon they learned all that? They were children of God. They had heard. They understood the scriptures. They didn't just memorize scriptures. They understood the God of scriptures, and they acted like it. And it showed out. It proved out, didn't it? Well, the king had a dream. And even the king didn't know what the dream was. He got all his wise people in. He said, I had a dream, and you tell me what it is. And they said, well, tell us what the dream is, and we'll interpret it. And he said, no, I don't know what the dream was. What do you mean? Oh, king, what are you? No man can do what you've asked us to do. He didn't even remember. How are we supposed to remember it? How can I interpret a dream that you don't even know what it was? And he knew those men were frauds. He knew it was fake. You think he thinks changed? Mankind today knows it's fake. You can feel it. I can feel it. And it's so. He knew they were fakes. They're just soothsayers, and he's going to prove it out. And he said, you can't tell me what's happened. You can't tell me my dream. Kill every wise man in the kingdom. Now, remember who was made wise men? Whoever held that physical, that political office that the king come in, took them and changed their names and changed their diet and changed their language and did all this stuff, and they just did it. That's all right. Lord did this. What's it matter to me? Daniel spoke up. Hold on now. Hold on. Let me and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Me and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah go pray before y'all go jump into conclusions. And so they did. They did. And the four went and prayed, and the Lord gave Daniel understanding, and Daniel thanked the Lord. He prayed to the Lord and said, thank you, Lord, you did this. And so he went to the king, and he interpreted the dream. He said, Nebuchadnezzar, here's what your dream was, and then I'll explain it. There's a huge statue, 90 feet tall. You're the head. It's gold. This thing's massive. And it says in chapter 2, verse 34, thou sawest until that you saw this thing. You had body parts all over you, and all the body parts are kingdoms that you've conquered. That's what that means. And he said, that's right. And he said, you saw a stone was cut without hands, which smote the image upon its feet of iron and clay and break them into pieces. You had this. You were this big stone. This is your kingdom. You're the head of it, and this is all you. And he said, keep going. I love this dream. This is great. And then there's an uncut stone. No man's hands ever laid to it. It comes out, it crushes you, destroys you in little bitty pieces. In verse 37, thou, O king, art king of kings. You're the head. You're going to be the head honcho. For, because, don't you forget it, the God of heaven hath given thee the kingdom and power and strength and glory. You are what you, who made you to differ? That's what he's saying. Has anything changed? Something different New Testament? No, God made you that way. Well, it ain't fair that somebody's so good. Who made them that way? It ain't fair. Somebody's wounded in the body. Who made them that way? Now, we can bow to God or not. If he teaches these things, he applies it to our hearts. He said, you're the head over all these other kingdoms. Those kingdoms are your arms and your legs and body. And then this uncut stone. Why was that stone? Why are gems? We talk about uncut gems and then we cut them. Why do we cut gems? They ain't perfect. They ain't pretty enough. Why was this stone uncut? It is perfect. It don't need to be whittled on. Verse 45. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it brake into pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. You see that? You're at uncut stone? God's telling you what's going to come to pass. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. You know it happened because you dreamed it. We're on the same page there, and my interpretation of it, I'm telling you so. Stone's going to get you. God's going to let you get built up real good, real high, and real mighty, and then Christ is going to bust you to pieces and have everything too. Everything else too. What's that mean? And whosoever shall fall on this stone, Matthew 21, shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will ground into powder. I pray in this lifetime, those that I care for as you do, if that stone's broke you pretty good, into pieces, you pray it breaks those you love into pieces in this lifetime. Because if it don't, it's going to fall on them and grind them to powder for eternity. Don't we? What's the king's response? Daniel got promoted, verse 46. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and he worshiped. Boy, worship's good. Worship's always good. No, it ain't. You stop saying that. No, it ain't. Look here. And Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel. It's man worship. A lot of people go to church sometimes when somebody comes into town. Another, they won't go when God's man's there. We've had brothers that died in the last couple of years. And he knew it. He knew that that's what it was. But it's just man worship. That's what it is. Worship the man. You'll find out when they don't, when that man's gone. I can tell you that. Nebuchadnezzar felt, he's starting though. Lord's working in him. He worshiped Daniel and commanded they should offer an oblation, sweet odors unto him. And the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth, that your God is the God of gods. He didn't know God yet. It wasn't his God. That's your God. But he knows he's important. And Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou could reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, the chief of the governors, over all the wise men of Babylon. He's a head honcho. And Daniel requested of the king. He didn't demand. He requested. And he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He set Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah over the affairs of the province of Babylon. That's important. We'll say it in a minute. But Daniel sat at the gate of the king. He was a right-hand man. Hanani, favorite of God, Mishael, owned by God. Azariah, God surrounds and protects. That's who's running the province of Babylon. They got promoted, didn't they? Why did the king do that? The king's heart's in the hand of the Lord. It says there that eunuch, not for his eternal benefit, but he loved Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah. And that's why he gave them new names and looked after them. He went in and talked to them so they could have the pulse. Was that to his eternal benefit? No. But God made him care for those men, for their benefit. So the Lord made Nebuchadnezzar's heart turn, just like the rivers of water. He turned it wheresoever he will and said, them three right there, you want that, Daniel? Put them in charge. They're running the show. What's the first thing Nebuchadnezzar does? That's a picture of the evil prince of this world. You know what I mean? That's what this shows. What's the first thing Nebuchadnezzar does when he hears God's going to destroy his great big statue? He goes and builds a great big statue. Can't make this up. I wrote this down in the office earlier. Dull ears do the opposite. Paul said, you're dull of hearing, and dull ears do the opposite. Love your neighbor. Don't say ornery things to people, and then people go say ornery things. Forgive you, brethren. And I say, you know what you did to me 10 years ago? Husband loves you. I can't even say that out loud. Y'all may go home and beat him down. May pop you in the head. Dull ears do the opposite, didn't they? Daniel 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. This statue was of him. Y'all get that? Daniel told him, said, you're the head, didn't he? It was of man. This great big statue to be worshipped is man, a mortal man to be worshipped. Has anything changed? People talk, I'm so sick of that garbage. I don't listen to it. I hate other people have to, but the world's drowning. Oh, this is the mark of the beast, and that's the mark of the beast, and this is the mark of the beast. You know what it is? 666. What's 6 in the scriptures? Man. So what's man done? Made himself prophet. I don't need to go hear somebody tell me what the word says. I got a library back here. I can stay in my basement. I'm smart. They made themselves priests. I don't need nobody praying for me in public. I can pray for myself. I don't need anybody preaching the word to me. I can figure this out. And they made themselves king. Not that those people that preach and read the word and all that stuff suck special. Christ is a prophet. You can figure it out yourself. You don't need him to save you. He's the priest. He's the only one that intercedes. I can talk to God on my own. I ain't that bad. And he's the king. Well, now he'll do what we let him do. Let God. You don't know God if you think you can let God. I don't know how to tell you that any plainer. That's the mark of the beast. And it's in their foreheads. It's on their mind all the time. Me, 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 me. That's a whole lot more dangerous than whatever. Aluminum pull hats and robots people can put up your nose. I don't know what in the world thinks. It's absolute tomfoolery. And you're going to die and go to hell if you're so worried about them things to the holy God you offended. Knock it off. Verse 2. Nebuchadnezzar the king set to gather together princes and the governors and the captains and judges and treasurers and counselors and sheriffs and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. We're going to honor people here today. Nebuchadnezzar just happens to be the one today at this particular time. It's his birthday. This is Father's Day. We're having a special occasion. All the popular people are coming. Big event. It's Mother's Day. We're going to hand out roses to everybody. Oh, it's so-and-so's golden anniversary or silver or whatever it is. Make it up. We're having special Sunday schools just for the kids. Easter egg hunts or some nonsense. Get all the famous people here to do it. There's a 40-foot tall picture of a famous quarterback down the road down there because they're having church this Sunday. I'd love to talk to that fella. I ain't going to church with him. we talk down to the pool hall, get us a cold beer. Everybody showed up for this big reveal party, wasn't it? Verse 4. Then the herald cried aloud, to you it's commanded. You got to do something. All people, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the cornet, and the flute and the harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. Well, everybody's here. Let's do this. We've got a big band. There's lots of activities. There's special people. This is a worship service. And on cue, because it's playing, we're all going to bow together and sing together and this and that and whatever. A child of God, believers know when something's wrong. Just because this looks like what the world would call worship service. That doesn't mean there's any worshiping going on. Natural man can't tell. They might have a checklist. Oh, here's what we do. Here's what we don't do. Right? I could teach a dog to bark at election. That don't mean nothing. But the believer knows in their heart when something's wrong. I don't think any of y'all's fans of bluegrass music. But if you say, Kevin, oh, we have a wonderful bluegrass band. You're from Eastern Kentucky. You're from the bluegrass state. You're going to love it. And I show up, Tim, there's a set of drums in the back. See ya. That ain't a bluegrass band. Are you kidding me? Or you listen to it like, what's that? Cymbals? Like, this is something just don't sound right. Just as much as I know a bluegrass band from not a bluegrass band, a child of God knows this. I can't put my finger on it. Something ain't right there. Something ain't right. They know. It just crawls all over. And people get guitars. We don't have a worship service. Everybody says, it's gross. Something's wrong. I get goosebumps thinking about it. Just walk away. Just as I'd walk away from a bluegrass band with electric guitars and drums. If you go to a service, it's just get your purse and go. Pack up your tools and leave. They also had church discipline at this worship service. Look at verse 6. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the very fiery furnace. Well, that's a little rougher, but you'll get kicked out, all the way out, ain't you? People heard that. When they heard that I'm going to lose my status as a celebrity, as somebody with a title, and my eldership, are you kidding me? I'm going to fall instead. Now, I know it ain't just right, but it'll be okay. We'll go along and get along. Just do what everybody else is doing. Just sing like everybody else is singing. Just wave your hands in the air like everybody else is waving their hands. It's all right. Just say amen when everybody hears those certain words and they say amen. And you start head bobbling whenever grace is said. Faith, election, atonement, yeah. Nod our heads when someone asks a rhetorical question and pray like everybody else. Pray like everybody else. Why do people pray the way they pray? Because that's how they've been taught. They just do what other people do. How would people worship, quote unquote, how would people worship if you put a gun to their head? Probably shouldn't say that. They put a sword to the neck. How about that? How would a child of God sing if the clouds be rolled back as a scroll? How would you sing like everybody else sings? I think it'd be a little bit louder. How would we pray? This is right there is a fiery furnace. Get in. I will now petition that. You're going to say a bunch of churchy stuff and junk you've memorized your whole life. You're going to say, Father, glorify your son. Let's go, boys. Do you see the difference? One's talking to God and the other one's acting like they're talking to God. Lord, teach us to pray. You reckon we ought to be taught how to pray? The apostles did, didn't they? How was a child of God saying? How would a child of God pray? How would they declare what the Lord did if this happened? Well, let's see. Verse 8. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said unto King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Smoochy, smoochy, smoochy. I've been alive long enough to know if somebody's blowing smoke at me. Haven't you? Can't you tell? It's like, just knock it off, dude. That's what you got to ask. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sax, psaltery, all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falls not down worship it shall be cast into the midst of the burning fires. I remember what you said. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs. Why'd they bring that up? That was a problem, isn't it? There's certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. That's who it was. They just called them other Chaldean names, didn't they? These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. That's the rub. Them fellows you put in charge. The one that's favored of God, the one that's God's property, the one that God protects. God's man, right? God's men. You put them in charge, and that's the rub. That's the rub. You know, Israel had somebody ruling them. And they said, we want a king. Well, you need a king for? We need a king to judge us. Well, you got Samuel right there. God sent him. What's so hard? Well, should I do this? Well, what's God's word say? I don't even tell you my opinion. I just tell you what God says. And with the understanding of the gospel, right? I know people read scripture to you and they can say, this is what this is, and this is what this is. And you ain't got a, they ain't got a clue what they're talking about because they don't understand the gospel. Samuel was there to tell them. And he said to him, behold, there are old. Samuel, you're getting old and your sons don't walk in the ways. And your house in shambles like David and everybody else's, right? Make us a king to judge us like all the other nations. We won't be like everybody else. Give us a king. And this displeased Samuel. He knew what was coming. And when they said, give us a king. So he prayed to the Lord. That's wise. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto the voices of the people that say they want a king. Do what they want. He warned them several times, but do what they want. They have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me. Why did they reject Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being in charge of stuff? They rejected the God that they served and they walked after. That's why. That's why. If the Lord puts us in a position and somebody goes against it, it's because they hate God and don't take it personal. If the Lord's give you something to do, don't take it personal. Look to him. You'll be all right. He said, they haven't rejected me that I should not reign over them. Samuel was one in charge. No, Samuel wasn't in charge, and that he knew he wasn't in charge. The Lord did. God sent some men he favored, he possessed, he protected to run things, and just a couple old hillbillies. Ain't nothing special about them. And they bent over backwards, and they kissed their heels to do everything for these people. Change my name, that's fine. You want to be vegetarian, I'll be vegetarian. I don't care, I'll do what you want. You're going to live over here, I'll live over there. You're going to speak this language, I'll speak that language. I don't care. I'll do whatever you need. That's all right. But I ain't putting up with religious garbage. If it comes to the times change and I got to wear Hawaiian shirts and the flip-flops and the hats indoors and all that nonsense, well, I ain't putting up religious garbage. You know what I mean? When I chose God, I never hated God. You still do. I ain't bending on the gospel's sake. I'm not playing those games. We're going to do things God's way. Oh. You know how we're going to run this place? We're going to watch our feet, and we're going to do it the way God says. That's what we're going to do. Do you know why we don't pass a plate? Because God says you have a box in the back, drill a hole in it, and that's a tactic that man used when there's a separation of church and state. We're going to do things God's way. What's natural man do whenever they're faced with something like that for the first time? What did these fellows do? Look at verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. The Lord put these people in charge. They hated them for it. That old the eunuch loved them. And they was in rage and fury. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you don't serve my gods or worship the golden image I've set up? Is this true? Nebuchadnezzar liked those boys. Everything went great until the root of the matter come out. And he liked them so much he gave them a second chance. Look down at verse 15. Now, if you be ready at the time you hear all the sound, all these things, they're halfway through, and you bow, it's well. That's in italics, but that's good. If you do all those things, it's okay. Everything will be all right. Like, they should have been thrown in the fire already, shouldn't they? They didn't bow the first time. He said, no, I'll give you a second chance. I'm a fair man. I'm not an austere man. I'm bendable, just like that law we pretend we worship in his eyes. He said, you just do it this time and everything will be okay. But if you don't worship, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall you deliver you out of my hands? That's a problem too. That is man's thoughts. I can resist God. What's God going to do? what God's going to keep me from doing what I'm going to do. I was a little tiny fellow. I was about four or five years old. We went to a funeral, and a preacher got up and preached. He's a hee-hawer. I didn't know if he's breathing in or out. Ha! Ha! All that. And he said, I chose the Lord to save me. He said, and if I didn't want to, he goes, I could have put my bony hand right in his face and stopped him. I was 4 years old, and I got goosebumps. I was like, who's this guy think he is? Like, you go warm a shower up, you stick your hand, you stop that water? I was a little kid, and I knew better than that. Whoever he's talking about ain't God. You better watch out, buddy. Man ain't nothing. God's almighty, all-powerful, and holy, ain't he, buddy? Young people know that. Old Nebuchadnezzar said, who's God is going to deliver you out of my hand? What did Laban say to Jacob? We remember that? That was just a couple weeks ago. He said, it's the powers in my hand to do you hurt. But, you know, your Lord asked me real nice and told me not. He said it. Pilate said the same thing. He said, why don't you answer me? Don't you know that I have power to crucify you and I have power to release you? No, you don't, Pilate. They don't know nothing. They don't know God. That's a problem. We need to tell them. How are they going to know unless we tell them? Verse 16. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. I don't need to go think about that. He said, now you take some time. Take 15 minutes, cool down, have a cool down period, and you think these things over. I'll give you a second chance. I don't need no time. That's all right. I kind of mulled over that vegetarian diet. I wasn't a big fan of that, to be honest with you, but I don't need to think about this one. We're not careful. We don't have to think about this matter. Is that what it says? We're not careful to answer thee in this matter. Had they been popping off at the mouth the whole time? Is that a rule? Is it an ordinance or is it a law? Well, now hold on now. Can you break this down for me? Just do it. That's all right. It don't matter. Just do it. Now, this matter. I hope his cow patty's dry enough that we can pick it up and throw it around like a frisbee. But if it ain't, I grew up on a farm, and I don't really mind a smell if I get on me. Where are the masks? Is that the matter? Get vaccinated, don't get vaccinated. I don't know. Pick something in the last 10 years. What was it before? Acid rain or something. Whatever it is, that generation. Is that the matter? For some people, that's the matter. These three children of God, they said, this is the matter. Now the matters. I've been quiet about you. Changed my name, took me out of my country, gave me a new language. I was away from my family, my parents, and everything else. And we got a problem now. We can swallow all that other stuff for the furtherance of the gospel, to walk in as men and women that know God in this generation. Now we got a problem. Now we got a problem. Gave us these new jobs and new languages. And here's the bulk. Here's what's just highlighted and circled and underlined and stars next to it. I don't need to read it so often. Daniel 3:17. We don't have to be careful with this. If it be our God whom we serve, he is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. If you're going to throw us in there, he is able to deliver. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. It may not be the way I think. It may not be the way you think. Christ ain't going to lose a sheep, is what they're saying. Burn me at the stake. So what? You going to kill me? You're doing me a favor. I think I have a job on this earth, but for me to die is gain. Oh, I can't die. Oh, I can't die. That's what the heathen says. I would like to watch my children grow up, but if the Lord ain't going to have me do that, I'm going home. That'll prove out on our deathbeds. I've seen one or two deathbeds, and it proves out. But if not, you be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the gold image which thou hast set up. If I'm not the Lord, he still deserves to be worshipped. That means you are. If you know him like that, you're going to worship him. But whether we die in this body or not, I don't care. You know one thing. We serve the Lord, and I ain't serving nobody else. You want me to go eat hummus, and you want to call me chickapoo? I don't care. We'll get over that. I serve God. I ain't bending. Oh, that we could have such faith. Oh, that we could have such faith. In the face of the furnace. I mean, standing where it consumed the men that threw him in. Heat up seven times, they died. Right in the face of the furnace. I worship God, I ain't bending. And if he kills me, so be it, I'll be with him. Let's go. Quit talking about doing it, do it. Man up. Gird yourself like a loin, get after it. Gird up your loins. Gird yourself like a man. Gird up your loins, get after it. Let's go. Oh, I could do that in the face of the fiery furnace and in the face of mild discomfort. Somebody parked in my parking spot. Somebody didn't call me sir or ma'am or whatever hoop-de-loop-de title I want to be called. I got to wear a mask when I go to the grocery. That's a fiery trial sometimes, isn't it? God's got to teach us. We got to grow. If we're alive, we will. He may be willing to deliver, and he may not. You get that? In the face of the fiery furnace or in just a mild discomfort, God is able to deliver, comma, and he will deliver one way or the other. Either this will carry out the way I want it to. I prefer not to go in a fiery furnace. I just, if I have my druthers, I don't want to do that. But that's all right. I'm delivered either way. That's for sure. I'll be with him. I pray we can remember that in a trial. The Lord is able to deliver us, but physically, he may not be pleased to do so. Our brother D, the Lord could take that cancer out of his body right now. He's able. You think he's able? Now, if you own that side of the coin, you own the other side of the coin, he may not be pleased. Own it. Put it in your pocket and rub it. I'm telling you. If we believe he's able, we also have to believe he does what he will. Bow to both of it, ain't we? We petition, we ask him. We got enough sense. Lord, I just really assume I get burned today. I don't like heights and I don't like snakes. I don't want nothing that has to do with either one of those. But if you kill me, that's all right. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The Lord might not be pleased to do so, but I want to bow to him until my death, just like Job. Though he slay me. Not though he may slay me. Though he slay me. We're all going to die. Yet will I trust him. We're delivered from the death, ain't we? Walking by faith. God's going to take everything near and dear we hold on to in all of our grave clothes and whatever it is. God's going to take that away from us and burn it in front of us, and we're going to be okay with it. Well, now that don't sound like health and wealth, and I thought we was going to win the lottery and get a Porsche. Well, that's what the world, that's what Nebuchadnezzar did. They're going to have a big party and have a band and stuff for everybody. Come one, come all, come as you are. Walk of faith's a little different. Some may say they arose to God's calling, didn't they? We don't even get out of bed without him. I've said that before, people stop short. Like the Lord clothes us, but we put our pants on, don't we? The Lord feeds me, but I take a spoon and put it in my mouth. I went on to say, however, he makes us hungry, gives us enough sense to do so, and gives us the power to do so. People leave that part off. I don't make things up. I pray I don't. I tell you what God says, right? What's he say? He said unto me, son of man, when Ezekiel was called to preach, stand up on thy feet and I'll speak unto you. Get up, Ezekiel. And the Spirit entered me when he spake unto me. When he spake, that Spirit worked right then, buddy. God commanded, it was so. And set me upon my feet, that I heard him speak unto me. I can't even stand up unless God does it. The proud are foolish, and I'm a fool. Without him, I'm nothing. He's all it. Verse 18. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. What great faith. What does everybody talk about? Oh, the faith of Daniel. I'm right time I preached that on. All right, Philip made me so mad. I still see his long, long hair and curliness and flippantness. And like everybody ought to have the faith of Daniel. You don't even know what that is. Hush. Out there speaking words they don't even understand on behalf of God. Knock it off. Where was Daniel's faith whenever these three Hebrew children was? We don't call it the four Hebrew children. We call it the three Hebrew children. He was sitting at the gate. He was sitting at the right hand of Nebuchadnezzar. Was he not? What's that mean? Lord, be our faith. Give me faith. Keep my faith. Make it the faith of Christ, not mine, not my thumbprint, yours. I ain't got enough sense to hold on to it. We need him every hour, don't we? Verse 19, and Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were there to arm, take those three and throw them in the furnace. Verse 21, and these men were bound in their coats with their hosen and their hats and their other garments, and they were cast in the midst of the burning furnace. Therefore, because of the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flames of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, killed those that threw them in there. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, they fell down bound. It says it was bound, wasn't it? Bound into the midst of the fiery furnace. But they were favored of God. They were God's property, and God's the one that protects them. That's what their names mean, wasn't it? Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and he arose in haste and spake and said to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And the answer said, yea, king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose. Did it say that's bound? He said, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. They walk around like it ain't nothing. I've seen some strong, mature believers walk through some fiery trials like it wasn't nothing. Oh, what a thing. What a thing to see. God did it. It ain't the God. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. How would he know such a thing? Well, you reckon for 3 years and fellas told him when they had dinner. Sit down, let me tell you something, buddy. Verse 26, Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Come on. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. Were they bound anymore? Them bounds were, they were consumed. What happened? The Lord looses his people. He unwinds them. Lazarus was wound tight, wasn't he? And he said, loose him. Let him go. You had bondage. That's gone. Ain't it? And the princes and the governors, the captains, the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men. This was on display publicly. Upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor an hair was of their head with sins. The Lord numbers our hairs, don't he? He said, they ain't going to get sins. Not even a hair. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed upon them. Three came out. Four was in there. You know who that was, don't you, buddy? Who was that fourth one in there? The Almighty God. We come out of the fire unscathed. We come out of the fire loosed. We come out of the fire not even smelling like smoke. Why? He stayed in the fire for us. He bore it. Did it consume him? No. He satisfied it, and he's sitting on the right hand of the Almighty God. Because he is God. Don't we? We know who that was. We know what that means, don't we? What do you reckon they smelled like? Smelled like the Son of God, didn't they? Sweet-smelling savor. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all-sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design. Boy, that was right. Where do you think them trials come from? God gave it. God gave the trial. What we pray for? Lord, show us, teach us what you're going to teach us in this trial. I'll give you the cliff notes. He's going to show us the gospel and Christ in it. What we are, who he is, him owning us, him loving us before time, us being his property, and him protecting us. We just assume, it'd be nice if we learned that pretty soon on in that trial. It hurts. Not then. What about every fiery trial of life? We're going to smell the same thing, ain't we? Him. Verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's words and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Starting to sound a little better, isn't it? Oh, brother Nebuchadnezzar's come in contact with some people that believe a gospel. And he may have sat through a worship service, a true service of God. He ain't there yet. Lord's working on him. Verse 29. Therefore, I make a decree. There ain't much bowing, is it? That every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of, he still ain't saying his God, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God than can deliver after this sort. Wouldn't that be something right now if we had a king? Could you imagine having a president of this country that said, there will, if anybody, if a dog wags its tongue against one of these people, kill that dog. And anybody else, we're going to cut you to pieces. What kind of nation you think, well, they'd be austere men running this place. No, it wasn't either. Long suffering, tender and kind, wouldn't it? Verse 30, and the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. He's finally getting there. He's starting to respect that one that's favored of God, Hananiah. You know what? Maybe Mishael, maybe he is God's possession and not his own. Maybe he is bought with a price. And Azariah, I'm starting to think, them bullets are bouncing all around him. I'm starting to think maybe he is the Lord. Maybe the Lord does protect him as this time goes on. What was their message? They got promoted. He's already running the show. And they got bumped up a notch too, didn't they? What'd they say? King, everything that just happened, that's what really is going to happen. You ain't got a hold of it yet. Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to bow to the sun or burn. Bow or burn. And I'll tell you what, if he makes you bow, you're going to get a new home. And you're going to get a new name. And you're going to get a new language. You ain't going to talk the way you used to talk. And you're going to eat new food. You can't eat that food you used to eat. Now you got to have this. That's what's going to happen. I pray the Lord to put us through some fiery trials. Like old brother Muse prayed. Old Dr. Muse prayed. Fellow come to him and said, pray, brother Muse, that Lord would give me wisdom. He said, let's pray. Old Luther Martin's name was. And they said, he said, Lord, be hard on this boy. Strip him. Take things from him and be rough with him. I said, what are you, elbowed him? What are you praying like that for, brother Muse? He said, how do you think you get wisdom? You want your faith to increase? It's going to come by the fire, isn't it? Prayer is a blessing to you. Lord be with you. Brother Martin.